What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul? What wondrous love is this, oh my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I laid aside his crown for my soul, oh yes, he laid aside his crown for my soul.
Unfathomable love. In a night vision combined with a visitation in 1994 in Sebastopol of Northern California for 3 nights. The first night came a leopard into the room, prowling and walking around the room, and fear came into the room. And the second night, a black panther came slinking through with a yellow embers of eyes, glowing eyes, looking through the darkness, and fear filled the room. And the third night, a lion came in, and it was a destroying lion, a predatory lion, and fear filled the room. And that third night, then Jesus, the Lord Jesus, came into my room dressed in a coarse robe with shoulder-length brownish hair. He came up to the side of my bed, and his face was very Mediterranean. He was a Mediterranean man. It was very plain, kind of swarthy. And he had reddish brown eyes. He wasn't ugly. He wasn't real handsome. He was nice looking, beardless. And he said to look into his eyes, which were brown, but then they turned into blue, liquid blue, endless pools of love that went on forever, for all into eternity. And he said, this is the only safe place. I want to just put a little explanation that leopards are very fierce, cruel, and swift, and can overtake you. They are princes. They are symbolic of ruling spirits. Black panthers are in the night. They're stalkers, and they're very ferocious, and you don't know that they're there. They merge into the darkness. And lions have the fear and intimidation. When they roar, all the animals in the animal kingdom shake with terror. And the terrors of the night, the terrors of darkness, and these things, the only place that there is safety is in the eyes of Jesus and in his love. Father, I thank you and I praise you. Let us keep our eyes completely focused on you. Lord, let us be able to apprehend the eternal riches of your glory and your unfathomable love. Lord, I pray that you anoint the ears and of the hearers and their hearts to receive, that you make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Oh Lord, we lift up your name and glorify Jesus the Mashiach. In your blood we pray and thank you and praise you. Let's begin with Ephesians 3:14-21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, the Apostle Paul here is saying quite clearly that the Father of Jesus Christ is the Father of the whole family in heaven and earth. And our Lord Jesus Christ testified that he was the Father in heaven's Son, that they were one, and that there was no other name given under heaven by which men might be saved, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Okay, now this is the prayer. The apostle is asking for a petition. He's petitioning the Father in heaven through the only name given under heaven and in earth by which men might be saved, is that the name of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. He's asking for the riches of God's glory. Well, let's see what this may mean. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. This is the first apprehension of the riches of God's glory, is that we have his spirit in our inner man strengthening us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's the second part of the riches. That Christ, you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he dwells in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. And rooted and grounded means God has taken a hold of you, and you're rooted and grounded. You're not going to be moved. You're established. May be able to comprehend with all the saints. Now he's asking for some kind of an understanding. He wants you to understand, and he wants all the saints, those who read this in the future, in the past, and who hear these words, what is the breadth and length and depth and height? All right, these are the four dimensions that we exist in, breadth, length, depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. This is not an intellectual assent. This is not, oh, I understand in my head. It is a to know, in your heart, to be one with that, to be in union, to be rooted, that the seed of God's word has come in and there's a flourishing of the fruit of love coming through you from your heart, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That this rooting and grounding of love would fill your entire being with God. Why? Because God is love. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Okay, now this is talking about him, God, the Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Spirit, is able to do greater and more abundant than we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Okay, this is the power of the Spirit that's working in us to operate. This is the operation of the riches of his glory. And to him be glory in the church, his glory abiding in us by Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world. That scripture was Ephesians 3:14-21. It's actually a prayer by the Apostle Paul. I suggest you pray the Word of God. It's a wonderful way to pray God's perfect will. Let's look at Romans 8:14-39. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What did we just hear in the previous passage? That his Spirit would be in, would strengthen us in our inner man, okay? That the riches of glory is the leading of the Spirit. And here, Romans is saying, well, now, as many as are led by the Spirit, not the knowledge, but the knowing of God abiding in your heart, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received, in other words, fear that God, you deserve punishment for your sins or for your wrong things you've done. But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. meaning that now we have been adopted into the heavenly family through Jesus Christ, once we have received him as our Savior and the gift that he has. For all, you know, have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever might believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if we believe in our hearts and confess his name, we will be saved. He will save us. We need a Savior. We are a fallen, sinful creation. And we need a Savior. And there is the provision to come back into relationship with Abba the Father. So we cry, Abba the Father, and the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same hope. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. So here we're subject to vanity because we're corrupt. But we shall be delivered from this bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty or freedom of the children of God. For we know that all of creation is groaning and travailing in pain until now. And what are they groaning and travailing in pain over? The sin of rebellion that has brought the curse of God's judgment upon us and all of creation, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body, waiting to come into the fullness. This is just one stage of the planting of God, is this temporary dimension that we're in, and where Christ has come into hearts, we're rooted and grounded, we'll put off this body of corruption, this flesh that's decaying and declining, and we will have another body prepared for us, a resurrection body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also is helping our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, the Spirit, you need to be Spirit-filled. You need to be full, the riches of his glory strengthen your man, full of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit can intercede through you the perfect will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purposes. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God foreknew us, and he's going to, because he's the author and finisher of his faith, and we are his poem, he is going to conform us to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So This is predestination. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundations of the earth. Don't get it blotted out. It's right here. Those he predestinated, he called. And those he called, he justifies. And those he justifies, he also glorifies. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spares not his own son, but delivers him up for us all, how shall we, he not be with him, also freely give us all things? He's going to give us all things. He knows, because he's working in us to will and do his good pleasure. By the Spirit, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distresses, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to all these dimensions. He says you're more than conquerors. As long as you stay focused, keep your eyes on Jesus, it's his love that you're apprehending, and the depth is unfathomable eternal love, and he will take you through all these perils. Perils of Pauline. And look at all these dimensions that he's speaking of. The dimension of death, the dimension of life, the angelic dimension, the principalities, the powers, nor things to present, another dimension, the future, nor things to come, the dimension of the present, the dimension of the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. But there is a catch to this. You must confess that Jesus is Lord. You need to believe on him. Then you will not perish, but have everlasting word. You must apprehend his love. It says 1 John 3:1, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it knew him not. But you, therefore, followers of God as dear children, walk in love, as Christ also loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. What does this mean, to walk in love? Let's look at a quick definition of 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. I'm just the first part of 8. All right, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, love, I am as sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, intellectual, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long, and it is kind. Charity does not envy. It does not puff itself up. It's not haughty, vaunteth, haughty. It's not puffed up. This is pride. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, this is God's purified love. This is not. There's a balance. There's a lot of things operating here. These are character issues. And this is a fire, the burning fire of God's love that purges out all these things that oppose. vaunting ourselves, puffing up, envying, short-tempered, okay, works that are not moved by the Spirit of God, behaving unseemly, being selfish, being easily provoked, thinking evil of others, iniquitous behaviors, patterns of our own sinful nature and our generational sins of the families we were born in. All these things are purged out by true love, by God's love. But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things, which is the head, even in Christ. And this is maturity. This is the issue. This is 1 Corinthians 13. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 speaks more about personal character and being conformed to Christ's image. But if we love God, that's another thing, okay? We keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Why? Because God writes them in our hearts, and He enables us by His Spirit to keep them. For this thou shalt not commit adultery or kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13, 9 and 10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How can you do this? Well, you have to have God's love. You have to love God, and you have to have the love of God working in yourself, in your heart. Apprehended, rooted, and grounded. Not selfish love, that's another kind. Oh, no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. And if you fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbors yourself. You do well. James 2 and John, 1 John. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. And I just want to encourage you to read the book of 1 John. It really breaks down walking in the Spirit and the truth and the love of God and the holiness, how this is all. He brushstrokes it out, but especially chapters 3, 4, and 5. And I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all judgment. For God didn't give us a spirit of love, but of power. Spirit of fear, I'm sorry, excuse me. 2 Timothy 1. Now, in this particular era that we live in, everything is terror and fear, and terrorists are going to get you, everybody's going to get you. Well, nobody's going to get you. You know, war here, war's there, rumors of war. You know, fear, you know, will grabbing men's heart, you know, men's heart will fail for the fear of things that are coming upon the earth. But God says, God hasn't given us just a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And those who overcome love not their lives unto death. We fear God and nothing else. Not men who can throw, you know, but God who can throw our souls into hell. You know, not men who can destroy our bodies, but those who can destroy our souls. And we fear God who can throw our souls into hell. Hell. Now, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And these are the three temptations that Jesus went through. And, by the way, Eve, and failed. But Jesus did not fail. He overcame them. He was tested. And he gives us a new life, a new DNA. He's the second Adam. First Adam, DNA is gone away, crucified, as he's working in us and conforming, rooting and grounding his seed of love, that God is love, and the DNA of Jesus in us. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But you that doeth the will of God abides forever. And little children, it's the last time. And as you've heard, the Antichrist shall come, and even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. 1 John 2:15 and 18. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that loved him. And I pray that you will come to know this love that's unsurpassable. The love of God, just as this beautiful song, which I pray you listen to the rest of it and be blessed and in his love forever. Bye.
To God and to his Lamb, I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna sing. To God and to his Lamb, I will sing. To God and to his Lamb, who is the great I am, while millions join the theme, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. While millions join the theme, I'll sing on. What wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul, oh, my soul. What wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. What wondrous love is this? It caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse.